to Minute 42 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and once again, Tom is still out this week, still in the cooler. But joining me today is Tyson Ferris, filmmaker and podcaster. Welcome back, Tyson.
Ahoy, ahoy. Thanks for having me.
All right. Yesterday was fun. Let's have another fun one.
Yeah.
All right. So Minute 42 starts with Rod McDonald continuing to outline the plan and goes all the way to see Henley stealing rods from under the truck. The very beginning of this minute continues the action from yesterday's minute, where we have basically Roger, Mac, Griffith, and Cedric discussing how they're going to plan out where everyone in the X-Organization is going to be doing their work. And the last thing that we discussed yesterday was the fact that Roger mentioned that they're going to skimp on shoring up the tunnels with wood, and they're actually going to use that, but they're still going to need a lot of wood to put in the entrance chambers and stuff like that. Now, the great thing from my perspective that I see about this is that they're really giving us a visual of what these tunnels are going to look like. The fact that they're saying that there's going to be entrance chambers, and it's not just that they're digging down and then it's going to be, you know, just dirt all around. The idea is that they're finding ways to make sure that it's not just going to collapse so quickly. Even though they're skimping on the shoring up, my assumption is they're not planning on completely avoiding shoring up. They're just going to do less.
Yeah, it's not going to be. It's like, you know, if they need to do it, you know, if they normally would do it every foot, they're doing it every 10 feet.
Exactly, something like that.
Yeah.
So basically, then they try and discuss where they're going to be getting the various pieces of wood that they need for it. So one of the things that they mention is they say that Henley, that there are 36 empty bunks. Now, we all know that Henley is a scrounger, but what do you mean he figures there are 36 empty bunks? You'd think that he'd have a more conclusive number here. You know, you go around, you count how many bunks aren't being used, or
yeah,
that they don't need to use, or whatever it is because of shifts and things like that they're doing. So you should have a definitive number. You know, to say that he assumes there's going to be 36. Does that mean that there are people that are sick, that they're, you know, that are currently in sick bay or the infirmary or whatever it is? You know, there's a lot of things that you can infer from this, but the idea is that, you know, the idea that he says that he figures.
Well, it could be because McQueen, they don't know if McQueen will need a bunk or not.
I don't think McQueen even got a bunk. I think his bunk was in the cooler. Because every time he gets out of the cooler, he goes out that night.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just wasted space. I mean, and my assumption is there aren't 36 different guys that are doing this.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
So I just found it a little strange that they mentioned that.
I guess it could be assuming that no one else gets brought into the camp.
Right, that's true also.
Yeah.
But you'd also think that the Germans know how many beds are in each room. You know, the idea that they're going to also, they say they're going to tear up 15 of the beds and move people around so that the goons won't miss them.
Yeah.
That also, it's strange that, I mean, it's
yeah,
a great idea, but you'd think that the guards are a little more meticulous, that they know that in this bunk there's supposed to be 20 beds. You know, if they come in and they find 15,
sure,
they're going to notice, you know. It's not as if they're cluttered rooms either. You know, if there's empty spaces because they... Because,
I mean, all that's in there are bunks, right?
Exactly. So it's a little strange that they would be, you know, completely devoid of, you know, if they take them out. Something, you know, I'm trying to figure out the logic. I mean, there is logic in trying to do this, but you know, how do they avoid the guards actually paying attention and noticing these things? You know, if I were to think, you know, if you're just talking about like a boardroom or something like that, and someone says, oh, well, we have 15 extra chairs, you know, we'll just get rid of them and nobody will notice. We'll move around all the other chairs. At some point, people are start noticing, especially, you know, if the guards are supposed to be.
But I mean, if there's, I don't know how many actual huts there are, but, you know, if it was just one bed or maybe even two beds from each one, you know, that might be not as noticeable. Because, you know, with the boardroom situation that you were talking about, if you had 15 empty chairs in a boardroom and all of a sudden there were 14 empty chairs, you probably wouldn't notice. You know what I mean?
No, there's also the idea that, I mean, later on at some point, one of the guards says to one of theirs, "You're not in your bunk." Meaning the guards know where people are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're right. If they're getting rid of one in each room, they might be able to get away with that. Even if it's two.
Yeah.
Depending on how big, you know, which rooms they're taking it from and what they're... Okay, there is something to that.
Yeah.
Good point. Thank you for bringing that up. And...
Yeah, I think we cracked it.
And then they say the rest are going to come from strips off the wall. Now, the guards aren't going to notice that.
But I can see that, though. I mean, if you got a, you know, a place where, you know, there's a, I don't know, a, you know, a bookcase.
Yeah.
You can peel some from behind the bookcase and, you know, where the beds go up against the wall. And
right. But how much wood are they going to be able to get from that? You know?
Yeah.
The way that he says the rest will come from off the wall makes it sound as if there's going to be a lot coming off the walls.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe there's a lot of bookcases.
Yeah.
You know, we have seen the library, which has it, so,
yeah.
You know, maybe they're able to grab them from there.
Behind the bookcase. Sorry, that's a different movie.
No, that's fine. And then I love Roger's question. He goes, "Is Henley taking care of all this by himself?" Now, why would he ask that? The X organization is set up that everyone works in teams. You know, you have the head of the team, and then everyone has their underlings that are helping them with everything that they do. So why would he ask this question? He would. I mean, obviously, this is for the audience. Mm-hmm. This is for the audience to get an idea that, okay, we're dealing with teams. You know, this isn't every man for himself in the X organization. They were only talking about the team. They were talking with the team leaders, you know, but each of them have their own team of however many other prisoners that are helping them out. So I just thought that was an interesting comment for him to make.
Yeah.
And then it they continue talking about it, you know, and first of all, the response is no. You know, is he doing it all by himself? No.
And in Coburn in the back of this scene, I think he's doing a little Steve McQueening. I think he's taking a little acting page from him. He's got this toothpick business that he's doing. It's like you can't help but your eyes keep going to him because he's doing this stuff in the background.
Yeah, and he also has his thumbs in his pockets as opposed to the whole hands in his pockets. You're right.
Yeah, yeah, he's just doing – Mick's famous for that just doing some sort of business that even if he wasn't the main focus of the scene, he would do something that would draw focus to him.
Right. So. That's true. Because Griffiths doesn't do that. You know, he's the other guy in the back and he's just, you know, staring straight ahead. he's actually doing his job properly.
Yep. Yeah. But if you pay attention to your eyes scene, you can't help but just, you're constantly, no matter who's talking, you're always checking out Coburn. So
you know, he's not on the side. Yeah. He's, you know, you can see there's a straight shot of him directly between Roger and Mac. You know, there's no question about that. So then they actually, I love the segue here because the final line of the scene that they're talking about here is he goes, yeah, he's working on some steel for a pick that Danny needs. And so, I mean, we have, last week we discussed the fact that Danny pops into his room and says, I need you to get me a pick. But at this point, they're telling us that, you know, he's going to be working on the wood, but first he's got to work on getting some steel. And then the scene shifts, and this is the next scene where we actually are going to see him get the steel. He would steal the steel. the scene of the four of them talking ends, and we go to a larger shot, which shows a whole bunch of prisoners standing by the water trough, you know, washing their hands or whatever they're, you know, some of them have towels, things like that. And then you see what looks like garbage men. You have you know, two, I'm assuming civilians, you know, that are there, that, you know, their job is to come into and take out the garbage every day. You know, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want a thankless job like that. Not being the garbage man but being a garbage man who's brought into a prisoner of war camp. You know, because yeah, the guards don't really look like they're really doing much to try and keep these garbage men safe.
Yeah, as far as Nazis go, this is really low rung. Okay, well, Nazi.
You know, they're not going to put their best Nazis in a prisoner of war camp. Why waste them there?
Yeah, collecting exactly. Garbage. Yeah, so
not even collecting garbage, watching other people collect the garbage. You know, I mean, the two guards that they have here—it's freaking one of the, you know, one of the normal foot soldiers. They're not even paying attention to any of the prisoners. They're just like staring off into space, watching these two guys pick up the garbage bins and put them on their truck.
Yeah, I think that's where their focus is. It seems like it would be the opposite.
Exactly, you know, for sure. So they're pretty lax in what they're doing. And then we get a shot of Henley, who twirls around his finger. Which, again, this foreshadow, for someone who knows the movie, it's funny that this is the signal that he uses, because, you know, they're about to go, you know, twist off the faucet. So to twirl around your finger in the motion of what they're about to do in a few seconds is pretty interesting.
I didn't put those two together, but yeah, I just thought it was kind of the universal symbol of like, hey, let's get going, you know.
It could be either.
Yeah,
and then Haynes acknowledges the signal.
Well, and isn't that the signal to start the prop of a groundsman? Also,
but you know, I mean, these are pilots, so maybe they said, "Let's just use."
Yeah, so I mean, I think it works. I think it works for a pilot to be using
true. He actually does something pretty funny, because like he crouches to the side and he's looking, you know, looking to see if the guards are paying attention, which the guards are not. So you know, just the way that he looks at them is quite humorous. You know, it's obviously there's a post that's possibly blocking his view, but still.
And I like how we go into this scene. I mean, if you know the movie and, I mean, you know what this scene's going to be because of what was just said in the previous scene. But if you're looking at this with new eyes, you like, we don't actually know what's going on here.
Correct.
Like, it's just we're just as clueless as the Nazi officers, you know. And then it's like, and even when he does the signal to do whatever they're going to do, you still don't know what's going to happen, you know. It's like, right. And then it does happen, and then you're like, oh, but why? Like, why are they spraying this guy with water? It's like, anyway,
exactly. So then Haynes motions to Goff, who I love how Goff is basically the guy they use whenever they need some thankless job for one of the extras to do. He's like he's a glorified extra. There's no question about that, because you know he doesn't have that much to do in the movie, but he shows up a lot. You know, and we know that he's the third American. He's basically the token American, because you have Garner and McQueen. And then you have Goff, you know, and so he basically starts twisting off the faucet, which I'm assuming someone loosened earlier, you know, just to make it easier for this to work. And once he twists it off, and then lets the water splash, and it just sprays Frick on his back, and then the other guard comes to try and help him. Also, neither of them are very efficient in what they're trying to do. What's really funny is that you can see. At this point, a lot of extras start to laugh. Now, my biggest question is are they laughing at what happened? You know, are they supposed to be laughing, or is it that the extras hold themselves back? You know, because if you look like at second 40, you see a number of them just standing. Yeah. Now, it could be either. You know, it could be that you know, because the prisoners would laugh at something like this anyway. It doesn't make sense.
Especially if they know it's going to happen and it was successful, you know, they're going to be pretty delighted by that. So even if it is at extras just not being that professional, I think it works in context.
Yeah, and I love how Frick starts screaming, "Turn off the water, get your hands away, and then get away."
Yeah,
and the whole idea is one second, who's he telling to turn off the water? You know, is he telling the prisoners to turn off the water? Do they have like access to the main valve, or is he? Because it doesn't look like he's screaming to some other German to turn off the water. Because he's first of all, he's screaming in English,
yeah,
not in German.
I felt like he was yelling to someone kind of off camera that might be able to do something about it, but yeah.
Right, and then there's a line that says, "Hey, what the hell is going on there?" Which is also funny because, you know, these type of movies don't usually have swearing in them, and, you know, hell even at this point for this type of movie,
sure,
is a little too much, you know. And then at that point, we see him move into action. Yeah. You know, he and the two guys next to him start strolling towards this truck. At the same time, you have Frick screaming out, "Stop the nonsense!"
Now, how believable do we think his accent is?
Who's
Frick's?
Well, he's German.
Is he really?
Yes, yes. He's actually an actor who fought during World War II for the Germans and was captured and was sent to a prisoner of war camp in America.
Oh wow!
Which he escaped from.
Wow.
And apparently he got all the way like to St. Louis before they caught him or something.
Fantastic.
Like that.
Fantastic.
So yeah, he's got his accent is real. He's not Coben.
Well, I stand corrected. I thought it was a little much, but apparently it's right on the money.
Completely. No question about that.
Yeah.
Then we see Henley crouch down, skirt his way under the truck. Then seconds later, you see him holding two rods in his hands and he comes out of.
Now, what is he taking this truck? Have you figured that out?
I have no idea.
Because I would love to know what he's taking that then the truck still functions as it should without these things.
I was
wondering
the exact same thing because, you know, normally
there's usually not a lot of stuff you can take off of a car and still have it be a car. Do you know what I mean?
That's right. That's not needed. You know, it's like it's not something that they're just adding to the car that, oh, you know, let's just put something in the design.
Yeah. There's hardly things that aren't, you know, functioning.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And then he starts to get up from the ground. And that's how the minute ends. You have anything else you wanted to mention about this minute?
I like the little dust off he does right at the end. He kind of notices, or at the next minute, I'm sorry.
It's right at the beginning of the next minute.
At the beginning.
He's in the process of standing.
Okay, well, I'll save that tomorrow.
All right.
If I'm invited back.
Of course you're invited back.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I will gladly have you come back tomorrow.
All right.
Do you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can check out more of my voice on The Real Jaws Minute and a new show that's should be out by the time this airs called Bad at Movies. And would love to see you guys listen to that. That's what happens. All right.
Excellent. All right, and while you're listening to those, you can go to our website, thegreatescapeminute.com. You can contact us by Twitter, greatescapemxm. Our Facebook group is The Cooler, and our email address is thegreatminute@gmail.com. So, until tomorrow, tally-ho!
Tally-ho!